Good morning.
It's good to see you. We've been having a little bit of a different kind of morning this morning. We've changed our format of communion. We've also reformatted the sermon, putting Andrew on the spot to create as he's going along. And so we just want to help you know what's going on here, and this bulletin didn't match, so we think we know where we're going now. I'm going to make a statement that probably all of you know, but I'm going to say it anyway. Life can be difficult. Life can be difficult. We live in a rather broken world. It's decorated with sharp edges that seem to wound us. Harsh words, cruel deeds, conflict, anxiety, sin, sinners, they're all around us, and we're part of that. And all of that's mixed in with just tough times. And all of that together can leave us panting for a sip of Jesus' promised refreshment. And so what do we do? How are we to respond to the circumstances we find ourselves in? We have options. We can blindly gut it out, wishing for something else. We can naively hope that it just goes away. We can roll over and die, just give up. We can numbly trudge on to the next issue that comes along. And I suppose we could fight. We could fight until we drop. But what if? What if God, in all of His sovereignty, actually allowed us to deal with these hard things? What if God was actually in process of leading us to the edge of ourselves? And what if that edge of ourselves, is a God-appointed meeting place? We with Him. What if all along, God has been allowing us to run out of steam in the midst of daily life so that we might finally stop? Well, let's face it. We're not all that good with knowing that enough is enough. Just think about it. Think about the things that you and I use every day. Most of them come designed to remind us. Cars blink, warning us that we need gas or that we need an oil change. Electronic calendars beep, warble, or chirp to let us know that something's about to happen. Our pharmacies actually call us now to let us know not that our medicines are ready, but that we should order them. And schools send out all kinds of notifications so that we know what to do and when to do it. And these devices, these systems, they seem to demand of us that we remember that something needs to happen before we run out of. And in many cases, these timers need to be reset. And in our normal daily lives, doing normal daily life, in the midst of our struggles, the things that sometimes trip us up, in our too often running out of and not having enough, what if reset is exactly what we need? Not simply a do-over, but more of a stop and a turn or going around a corner, after which we just might be something other, more likely to go the distance, or at least to the next reset. And if this scenario is indeed the case, what might that really mean for you and me and for our daily lives? What would a human life reset look like? Is it something that we wait for, or is it something that we could ask for? Now, the idea of reset carries three basic ideas. It carries the idea of to set back to the initial state, or to set anew, or to adjust again after some kind of failure or short. And how different would our lives be if we asked God to set things anew and we really meant it? Would our daily routines change? Would they look the same? Or would we somehow be altered? Andrew and I this morning would like to suggest that the call to come to the table to partake in the elements of communion could be a fresh start, a reset, if we allowed God to do that. A reset to the pace and course of our daily lives as we remember, as we worship, the one who has come among us to set us free that we might truly live. Oh, still me?
Yeah.
Okay. I think David understood the concept of reset, especially as it applied to sin, confession, and forgiveness. We read in Psalm 51 the words that Andrew had read just a few moments ago as David was crying out, "Refresh me, O Lord." In verse 10 of Psalm 51, "Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me." Sin makes us dirty. It tarnishes the image of God, and in that tarnished appearance, we seem less than what we are. We seem disconnected from God's blessings. We seem somehow weakened as a witness for God's grace, and sometimes we even feel bad about ourselves. Reset. Reset looks like confession and the accompanying forgiveness. You see, confession opens the way to newness, and forgiveness removes the weight of guilt, and it frees us to live a God way of life.
You know, we live in a world where it's all about me. What can I have? What can I achieve? How can I benefit? And that kind of thinking is totally acceptable and justified by the world's standards. But as a follower, as a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are called to reset our thinking, to reset our minds. Listen to the words of the Apostle Paul found in Romans 12. "Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will." You know, I saw on Facebook the other day this post, and it just kind of caught my eye, and it read, "The world says, follow your heart. Jesus says, follow me. The world says, believe in yourself. Jesus says, believe in me. The world says, discover yourself. And Jesus says, deny yourself. The world says, be true to you. And Jesus says, be true to me." And that really caught my attention because it begs the question, who do you serve? Are we serving ourselves or are we serving Jesus Christ? And that should cause us to pause and take a moment to evaluate our lives and the priorities that we have. And that is a reset, my friends. Our inclination is towards ourselves. Selfishness is a powerful force. It's a loud voice. But resetting the mind means that we have turned from self to focus on God. Resetting, renewing our minds causes us to break from the pattern of this world. Our focus shifts from us and earthly matters to God and kingdom matters. Resetting and renewing our minds is a spiritual act of worship because we are willing to sacrifice our desires, our wants, to see His will done.
Jeremiah. I believe Jeremiah was there watching when Jerusalem was destroyed. He watched as God's warning was fleshed out. It was fleshed out in an army that just overflowed the land and in the total destruction that followed. And later, Jeremiah wrote the book of Lamentations, and I wonder if he wrote from a vantage point where he could look over the devastation, maybe from one of the cliffs of the peaks around Jerusalem. And as we think about the words of the book of Lamentation, that's an extended poem. It's a cathartic cry, a healthy blend of anguish and hope. And we read in the book of Lamentation, as we kind of boil it down, what Jeremiah was crying about was God's mercies. He was asking God to show them anew His mercy. And that seemed to be his desire. And as he wrote about the suffering, as he wrote about the loss, He wove into that a portrait of God, a holy God. Here are some of the words that he wrote in Lamentations chapter 3. So I say, my splendor is gone and all that I hoped from the Lord. I remember my afflictions, my wandering, the bitterness and the gall, and I remember well, my soul is downcast within me. Yet this I call to mind before I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. And I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for him. And the Lord is good to those whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Now, our lives sometimes, I think, feel or look like the city of Jerusalem after the Romans had run through. Crushed under the weight of life, under the weight of sin, ours and others. But we find in Jesus substantial hope. And that hope is in the body and blood of Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus bore the weight of the penalty and punishment that we might be set free. Free by faith. Free to fully live. And unlike Jeremiah and the people of the city of Jerusalem, we do not have to weep over our loss. You see, because of Jesus, the cross, and the empty tomb, we get to behold new mercies. We get to rejoice. And as we ponder those things, reset. Reset looks like a new beginning and the opportunity that new offers. Confession, again, opens our hearts to all that is new. God's mercy is always there. It's always new. It's a gift. It's free to live this side of failure.
We've all sinned. We've all fallen short of the Lord's glorious standard, every one of us, without exception. We are sinners, and we are in need of forgiveness. 1 John 1, 8-10 says, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins, and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim that we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word has no place in our lives. When I was a kid, I loved playing video games, and any time I would mess up during a game, I would just hit the reset button. I'd just start over. And that's easy with video games, right? We mess up, we start a new game. Jesus came so that our lives could be reset, so that we could be made new. We were once captive to sin. We were slaves to sin. The love of Jesus Christ took him to the cross, and he has set us free. We're no longer slaves. We're no longer captives. We have freedom because we have been forgiven through the blood of Jesus Christ. But here's the thing. We must confess our sins. And while we have been saved, if we place our faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and submitted our lives to him, sin still rears its ugly head in our lives. But we can overcome. Confession has to be part of our spiritual walk. Take those sins that you've been holding on to, those sins that sneak up on you in moments of weakness, in moments of fear, or even in moments of anger, and lay them at the foot of the cross. Confession opens the door to repentance. When we confess our sins, the Lord is faithful and just, and he will forgive. That's a promise. When we confess our sin, the Holy Spirit has an opening to shape us, to mold us, and to transform us, to actually turn us away from sin and towards God. When we confess, we're forgiven, we're purified. Reset is what we need.
Jesus was fully human, and I believe he fully understood the weight of life and what it cost us to do daily life. He worked and got tired, just like you and I do. He loved and he ached loss, just like you and I do. He bore others' burdens, and he knew soul weariness, same way that we do. And Jesus answers our too often unspoken plea in the tender words that he offered to his disciples in Matthew chapter 11, where he said, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, some evenings, I literally drag myself to bed, just leaving behind stuff that didn't get done. And I know you're like that too. And there's also days where we play with our souls, where sometimes we get to the point where we're carrying so much, whether it's just our junk or the junk from others around us, the stuff of life, and it kind of crushes us on the inside. But this is the way it is, as we live in community. And that's what we do as brothers and sisters in Christ. We live in community, and we share the substances of our lives. And part of that is the good stuff, the bad stuff, and the ugly stuff, and it can be heavy. But Jesus affirms that He is there. He is there in the midst of our need, and He is offering a much better way to do life. He is providing a shared burden that is more manageable, less soul-crushing. And actually, if you listen to His words in this passage, not only does He say it is less burdensome, He says that it is easy. Reset. Reset looks like a new way to do daily life. A life that we have already begun, but we're going to shudder as we shift gears for something other. Confession. That our way might not be the best way. That's what we're doing when we confess. It opens our lives to something other and something better. A Jesus kind of life. A truly healthy kind of life. This morning, as Andrew and I have walked through these passages of Scripture with you, what we've tried to do is to offer opportunities to see this idea of reset from different angles, specifically five different angles. Paul wrote that in Christ we are new creations, and he's absolutely correct. We are made new. We read that in 2 Corinthians. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. But we can get stuck in a moment. We can end up lost in the weeds of daily life, and in so doing, lose our direction. And that new life smell that we love seems to have soured in the crush of doing daily life. Reset. Instead of wallowing in the moment, we're invited to focus on what God has said. No, even better, we're to focus on what God has done. He has loved us with an eternal love. He has come among us in the person of Jesus Christ, and He has carried our sins far away, far, far away. And He offers a brand new life. He gives us joy in our daily lives. He actually replaces the zip in our zippity-doo-dah. Reset. Instead of living defeated lives, instead of living under life, Jesus offers to lift us above life. A life that is flavored by grace and mercy and love. Would you pray with me, please? Father, this morning as we think about the idea of reset, we do so in the moments of thinking about our lives, how busy they are, how complicated they are, how difficult they can be. And we're going to pause at the table this morning, Lord, and we pray that You would meet us there. You know us even better than we know ourselves. And so we ask that You would push the reset button or show us how we need to do that we might come closer to You, closer to the life that You died and rose to make possible. Father, we pray to those ends in Jesus' name. Amen.
This morning we gather around the Lord's table. Ours is an open table. You do not have to be a member at Akron Grace here to partake communion with us. We do ask two things. We do ask that you've placed your faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And then if you have a sin that can't be confessed or made right this morning, we ask that you not partake this morning until you can set that correct. This morning looks a little different than what we originally intended. We're very aware of all the germs that are out there. So the ushers are going to come forward. They're going to bring the bread. They're actually going to hand deliver the bread to you with gloves on this morning. They'll do the same with the cup. Once you've partaken of the cup, there's baggies on the inside of each pew. Just pass those to the center and place those in the bag. Will the ushers come forward, please? We ask that once you've been served, that you hold on to the bread till everyone is served and we'll partake together. The bread symbolizes Christ's body, a body that was broken so that you could be forgiven and made whole. On the night he was betrayed, Jesus took the bread and gave thanks, and he broke it, and he gave it to them, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Take and eat.
When you have taken communion and you are done, pass the bag along to you. Jesus was with his disciples and took the cup. He said, "This is my blood poured out for you. Take and drink in remembrance."
Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, Lord, we remember the table. We remember what Jesus Christ did on the cross for us, Father. Father God, never let that fall far from our minds. Allow us to see your Son, Jesus Christ. Allow us to remember that his body was broken and his blood was poured out for us, Father. Father God, we thank you so much for his sacrifice because it gave us new life. It gave us a chance to reset, Father. We thank you for that, Lord. Let us honor that sacrifice. In your name we pray. Amen.